Welcome to Rock Harbor Church's channel on Sermon Audio. We hope this message is a blessing to you and helps you in your daily walk with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So please, settle in and grab your Bibles. Here's Pastor Brandon with this message.
And I've entitled this, Resisting the Corruption of the Established Order. And where we're at in Scripture is Genesis 38, and it's an interlude or a pause in the story of Joseph. And rightfully so, Moses felt it was important to put this in the story before you get deep in Joseph's life. And it's a story of Judah, and who will eventually be the leader of Israel and produce the Messiah. But it's going to show you that Tamar, his daughter-in-law, is going to be just done wrong, Judah. And what Tamar represents is a resisting to the established order. And you're going to see her fight her way through things to accomplish what she needs to accomplish. And we're going to talk about that. But the overall structure, what Moses is trying to say, this is how you go about resisting an existing corrupted order. Now, this is not about bucking the system as far as rebelling against the established order. This is about resisting the established order. There are times when you're going to have to rebel against and those times are when, obviously, there are violations that they ask the person to violate Scripture and to violate principles of God, and you have every right to practice civil disobedience in those cases, no doubt about that. But what happens when the existing order is preventing you from accomplishing God's will, preventing you to live your life in freedom and do what God has called you to do? That's more of what we're talking about in this situation. And I think this is important because I think we all understand there is an order that's going on around the world and in the United States that is preventing a lot of us from experiencing freedoms that we should normally have. And every day it seems like it's encroaching more and more. Well, what you're going to look at from Tamar's life to biblically go about resisting the established order. And we're going to learn a lot of things. You know, and it's you know, people gloss this story over and they look at it as just a Judah versus Tamar, and they don't realize there's a bigger implication of what Moses is trying to do. And he's trying to show you the contrast between Judah and Joseph. Joseph is the ideal. And then when Joseph is ruling and reigning in Egypt, you'll see that his established order is likened to that, like the Messiah. It's done right. It's holy. It's righteous, and it's a picture of Jesus ruling and reigning versus Joseph. Versus Judah, who kind of looks like our modern day politics, you know, and the way he's establishing himself and his authority, authoritarian mindset and. It just, wow, when I was reading this story and digging into it this week, I'm like, dude, I'm seeing the same thing in our culture. Let me show you a few things about the established order and what I'm talking about. So now the established order that we have to resist is use certain pronouns for people who think they're he, she, them, they, whatever. And so now this is in Ireland. Thank God we don't live in Ireland, but if you think it's not coming here, you're crazy. Teacher arrested in his home for refusing to use preferred pronouns at school, okay? And that gets teachers here in trouble for if they don't use the right pronouns as well. They don't get thrown in jail, but they get reprimanded. And again, we know where this is going. FBI, as an example of the established order, we know that the higher echelon of the FBI is corrupt. We already know that. We've had 10 years of the FBI and the DOJ and realizing that they work against the American people. FBI will crush you. Suspended Special Agent Garrett O'Boyle risked it all to warn Americans about politicized agency. And the FBI is politicized at the higher levels. It's leftist. That's all it is. Radical left, and they will do everything they can to promote a political stance. And you saw Bill Gates, that dude's crazy. And you're like, how does this guy keep living the way he acts, man? But he keeps living. And so now he's proposing digital IDs to tackle disinformation and misinformation. And you know what that means, right? In their vocabulary, the truth is misinformation and disinformation. So we realize that in the established order, they're holding truth back as much as they can, censoring. You just saw in the prophecy update, Brazil's not allowing Rumble. Rumble is one of our major ways of getting our communication out because YouTube shadow bans us and stops us. So our platform, Rumble, can't get into Brazil anymore. And we have people listening in Brazil, and now Brazil's not allowing that. Brazil, I think, I have to check this, banned X in there. It's just a total totalitarian censor state. That's the established order. And then the established order here, because of our border, is allowing it. They say, they gaslight you and say there's no problem at the border. But we have now, in less than 4-year period, almost 400 illegal aliens on the terrorist watch list that has come through. That's significant, guys. 400 that are on the terrorist watch. These are the types of individuals that blow up planes and buildings and stuff like that. And we just let them in. So we have an established order that seems like it's anti-human. Seems like it's anti-civilization, right? And again, you that what Tamar is up against with Judah is this established order in the mindset. And I showed this on Wednesday. We got Venezuelan gangs taking over apartment complexes in Colorado. How does this happen? Where's the police? Where is law enforcement? What's going on? I mean, here's the clips of these things. This is a Venezuelan gang taking over an apartment complex.
The city nonprofits have lined up to help the migrants that have come here, but nobody is helping the American citizens, the residents that are trapped in these apartment complexes.
So this is not your friendly person coming through the border saying, I just want a better life. These are gangs taking over apartment complexes, okay? And of course, the Democratic governor, Jared Polis, tells us it's a figment of your imagination. That didn't happen. I just showed you, he's telling you, said that didn't happen. What you're seeing didn't happen, he said. Dude, that's totally don't believe your lying eyes? See, again, this is the establishment. The establishment, as you can see, is corrupted. And most establishments, if you get rid of Judeo-Christian values, ends up corrupting very quickly, right? So, again, those are pictures of our establishment. Let's look at the establishment that Tamar's under with Judah and basically the authority structure is what I'm referring to and what goes on here. It came to pass at the time that Judah departed from his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite whose name was Hera. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Hera, and he married her and went into her. So when you read this on face value, you're like, what's the big deal? This is huge, okay? So what Judah represents, he represents the authority structure in his own family. And he, Reuben has basically disqualified himself by sleeping. So the next in line to take over the family is Judah. But it's going to. Moses is trying to show you that this guy is not ready to lead. He will eventually lead, but he's not ready to lead. So that's why Jacob has turned to Joseph, and that's why God has said Joseph is going to lead Israel for a time being. And so what Moses and God is trying to show us is that, okay, so here's this guy that is supposed to lead Israel. He's supposed to be over the established order. And the problem with this guy is the first thing he does, off Joseph as he departs from his family. He leaves his family, and then he gets hooked up with some associate by the name of Hera, who's nothing but a Canaanite, okay? So the first thing you want to see is in any situation when you have an order, okay, what tends to happen is they start out okay. They start out good, many times with the right motives. But then you get what's called missional drift in the organization, and the organization just shifts away and starts internally corrupting. Now, we can say that, it starts out with a mom and pop mentality, and then all of a sudden the board takes over and becomes public, and all of a sudden the company starts corrupting. And definitely that's the way our government is. It's totally corrupted compared to when it first started. And you can look at basically any organization, churches, any authority structure, sometimes they start out good, but they have this missional drift. The reason for the missional drift is exactly what you're seeing with Judah. He moves away from his family, which is the patriarchal family that God is using to bring in the Abrahamic covenant, and he says, I'm going to move away from that. He's moving away, and then he hooks up with a Canaanite, Hera. Now, people say, well, that's just a buddy of his. And are you saying you can't be friends with pagans? No, that's not what I'm saying. What Moses is trying to show you is his decline starts with drift inside of him. And then when you start internally drifting, you hook up with people who have the same mindset. Okay? And this is a Canaanite. Do you understand? The Canaanites in this day, hardcore rank pagans, okay? Off the chart. They're not, they're following all kinds of other gods, and that means they're in their daily life, their practices are foreign to the patriarchal family. So what you start realizing is that's the drift. It starts internally, and then you surround yourself with people who have that same drift mind, okay? So we call it the swamp, right? That's what it is. So all of a sudden, you have swamp creatures, and you become friends with the swamp creatures. And part of the establishment then is around you is people with a Canaanite mindset, a pagan mindset, okay? So then, to go third, what does he do? And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, okay, whose name was Shua, and he married her and went into her. So now here's the third level of declension. I'm going to marry one of these people. He is supposed to marry within the family. And if the family is extensive, this is what Isaac told Jacob when he said, look, we're going to send you away, but do not get a wife from the Canaanites. Go to my family. They're in Haran. You can find people there, and you can marry them. And so the first thing you see is a move away, surrounding swamp creatures, and then marrying one of the swamp creatures, okay? So this is the declension of the established order, is they end up bonding themselves to these types of individuals. Now, why would you say they do that? Because they're all heading in the same direction, have the same mindset. They all have the agenda. Judah's agenda is not to preserve the Abrahamic covenant. Judah's agenda is Judah. It's about the established order is about power and about money and about control. That's what it is. And Judah at this point is about that. That's why he's moved away from the family. So in essence, it would be like he was attending church for a long time, and then all of a sudden you see him over there at, the Buddhist temple, or you see him at the Sikh temple, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, you were here at Rock Harbor, and you were here for years, and all of a sudden, the Paganicon, and going to a pagan festival. What happened to you? The drift happened. That's what. And then they got hooked up with somebody that caused them to drift. And here's the thing. Here's a practical application. This is why it is extremely, hear me out, extremely important who your adult children marry. Because, look, the lists can go on and on in counseling to me of parents telling me their adult children hooked up with some goofball or test broom pilot at the broom factory, and it has been a complete disaster for their family. It's divided their family. It took their kid away from them. And so now they don't have a relationship. Now the kids don't even come to church. They don't go to Jesus. They don't subscribe to what the Bible says. And you're like, what happened? I can tell you what happened. The kid hooked up with the wrong person. They hooked up with a person that fed already what was going inside their head. And then it just left created what you're having here. So Judah all of a sudden just marries a Canaanite. Wait a second. The Messiah is supposed to come through you, Judah, and you go off and marry a Canaanite? And it gets worse. So she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name, means watcher. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. And she conceived yet again and bore a son, and called his name Shelah. He was at Kezib when she bore him. So you look at that and you're like, what's the big deal? Okay, take a look at it again. The first kid that comes out of this Canaanite relationship is Er. Okay. Who named this kid? He called his name. That's Judah. Look at the. She called his name. Look at the third kid. She called his name. Okay, now most people reading the English, say, what's the big deal? They're calling the kids. Blah, blah, blah. No, 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 no. In the Hebrew text, anyone that means they have authority. So when Adam has brought the animals to him, it is not Eve that does the naming. It is Adam because he has the authority. So Adam names the animals. God will name change people's names. It indicates in the Hebrew mindset, anyone who is the one who names. Guess what happened in his personal family? Who took over? She did. Do you see the drift? He names the first kid, but the next two kids, she's in full control of the family unit. And that's indicating naming of the child. He's like out of it. Okay, again, this points to another problem. The Adam and Eve syndrome, okay, which is clearly being shown in the life of Judah and the Canaanite wife. Okay, so men have how to overcome their passivity in leadership. That's every man has to deal with that. And every woman has to overcome her desire to rule over men. Okay, that's the way it is. And it's a deadly combination when you have a man that refuses to lead and a woman that is glad. That's a deadly combination. And unfortunately, it's the majority of relationships in marriage. And a Judah and this Canaanite woman are no exception. The minute this happens is an indication of Judah is not ready for leadership. If he can't even lead his own family, then he's going to lead Israel, right? That's if you can't do the small thing, how are you going to do the large thing? And again, this goes back to a more of an application for all of us. In our families, who in the world is leading? And I'm not saying who's supposed to lead. I'm saying practically family. If it is the woman, you're upside down. And guys, if you're letting your wife lead out, you're wrong. And if you think that's the new masculinity, I'm sorry, you've been feminized. Because that's what's happened. They have feminized men and called masculine leadership masculine toxicity. Okay? And what's happened is you have a bunch of feminized men now. And look, the everybody on TV, you can see they're feminized men. They're not in control, okay? But when we didn't bring that down, and we come down to our life as Christians, you see the same dynamic happening in those relationships. It's the same thing. And so we're mirroring the world and not overcoming this Adam and Eve syndrome, and it's causing havoc in families. Well, what will it do? What's the big deal? is when you show an unnatural authority structure in your home, it's communicated to the children. And then the children will not accept biblical authority or spiritual authority when they're adults either. And so you set the children up testing God-given authority. And typically that what's happens. So what's that, what goes on? Well, I can tell you this. When they see an upside down house, they will eventually drift away from the Lord and his authority when they're older. Okay? Because of that upside down authority. Okay? And people will say, well, you know, anybody can have a kid that's a Cain, and that's true. That's true. But that kid, and it's the second kid, and then it's the third kid, and if you have four, it's the fourth kid. What if I keep seeing the pattern in my kid's life that they get out of my house and they want nothing to do with Jesus or church anymore? What if I keep seeing that pattern? Then I think you better examination about what you're doing in your home. And typically, it comes down to the man is not leading and the woman is. That's what's happening. So people don't like to hear this, but the problem is it's what's true. And it's what they don't want to hear, but it's what they need to hear. Because and it's constantly being the problem. You know who gives us the most problem at Rock Harbor? Take a guess. Take a guess who gives us the most problems and we have to spend the most time dealing with issues after issues after issues. It's men that won't lead and their wife is out of control. And they wife. And guess who gets to rein them in? Me. Okay? I then have to do the job of the guy because he won't rein the woman in. And so then I become the bad guy, the bad cop. He becomes the good guy. He goes on. Now, she's not ticked off at him, but she's ticked off at me. Guaranteed. And they'll say, I can't believe you're saying this to me. I said, well, I'm the first male to ever tell you that, and you needed to be told that. And they don't like it. But the husband won't say anything. I have to do his job. So my thing is, this is a big issue. And I can't overemphasize this. It's one of the major problems in our society. Look, man, you know, look at the kinds of leaders we have in men today. Okay? There are good leaders, but the majority of them are feminized leaders. They can't lead properly. They're afraid. They're passive. And you have this, how do you want to say it? Way of doing things. Let me explain that. What do you mean? The feminized way of doing things is compassion without truth. Okay? Compassion without truth. Here's how it works in the marriage. The way Adam and Eve are created, Adam is going to be more in line with truth because he's less emotional. Eve is more emotional because she's the nurturing one. So the way it's supposed to work is she is supposed to bring the man to Adam, and then Adam, with truth, balances the compassion out on how things need to be done. But without her, Adam will not have the compassion that he needs. So that's why she makes the perfect helpmate, because she will bring to his attention. That's the female compassion that you see from women. They see the problem and then they bring it to the head, and the head uses the truth to balance all that out. Okay, so that's the balance. And typically in a home, it'll be the wife that's in tune emotionally with on with the kids or other family members, and her role is to bring that to the husband and make him aware of it, because he's not going to be aware of it because he's truth-centered. Okay, so then he comes in with the truth and says, okay, I hear what you're saying. Someone's hurting. Someone's doing this. Someone's His idea is to apply the truth to each situation so that it's not compassion unbridled. So that, okay, well, you know, he's doing drugs. I understand you feel sorry for him, but here's how we're going to handle this. We're going to put some boundaries and things on him, because her compassion will not want to put boundaries on the person, on the kid. So he has to put the boundaries on in the context of compassion. That's how it works, okay? So then here's the point. So when I bridge this to the culture, see the men using compassion without truth. Like, for instance, our border. Right? That's an example of that people want to be compassionate. Okay, but where is the truth behind this? Can we, every human being on the planet, just to come to America? No, you can't do that. Because truth would say, whoa, we can't pay for that. We can't pay for that. We can't allow that. We can't allow people to come in here and have their own ideas. So the truth has to balance that out. But what's happening is a feminization of politics. And what's happened is it's a compassion out of control with no boundaries. Well, here's another example. Love is love. So they think that's the compassionate thing, that to allow a human being to love whomever, whatever way they want to love. But see, if you brought that to truth, the truth would say, no. You can't love a tree. You can't love a horse. You know, you can't marry a horse. You can't do that. There's boundaries. And the boundaries, obviously, from God saying there are certain boundaries in who you may love. You can't love. So you can't, another male can't have a sexual relationship with another male. That's not appropriate. A female can't have another sexual relationship with another female and whatever. Okay? And that seems commonsensical, but when you don't have truth, uncompassionate. But what I'm telling you is happening is a feminization of the culture and males without the masculinity which brings in truth. That's not that we're not being balanced here. So that's the hallmark left is compassion. Okay. I bring this up all the time. The left wants us to be compassionate about the homeless. But what's the truth about it? What's the truth about the homeless? Drugs, mental and quite frankly, they don't want to be part of the system. Now, here's the thing. Those who are homeless that actually want to get back on their feet will take advantage of the mission. They'll take advantage of the government programs. They'll take advantage and they'll get back on their feet. Okay? Majority of them don't. The majority of them are so mentally ill, they need to be in a mental institution. So the truth is, to be compassionate to that individual who's mentally ill, they need to be in a mental institution where they're not a harm to themselves or anyone else or society. I don't know why we got rid of that before. But at the end of the day, that was so uncompassionate to not create hospitals for mentally ill people. And instead, their compassion threw them on the street. That's not compassion to me. That's saying sink or swim, baby. I don't care if you freeze out. We don't want to make mental institutions for you. So go out there and die. That's the left's mentality. It's compassion without truth. You got to have both. So this issue that you're seeing is a major problem. Okay? Now, let me move on here. So Judah is marrying a Canaanite. A Canaanite, pagan, demonic, satanic. You couldn't get worse than a Canaanite, okay? Maybe a Philistine, okay? But here's what happens. In resisting the corruption of the established order, understand that the corruption comes from it adopting false religion. So what Judah is doing by bringing this Canaanite into his life, she is influencing the kids, and you'll see how the kids work. They start operating like pagans. They don't operate like Yahweh worshipers. They operate like pagans. Guess what? When whoever is in charge in the house, the kids will religion of the one who's in charge. So if the wife is in charge and she is pagan, she is woke, she is cast for milquetoast type of Christian, the children will adopt her stance because she's in control. That's why it's so important for the fathers that are in control, if they are, to be spiritually sound and theologically sound, because the kids will adopt your theology rather than the other one. So that's the key issue. Okay, now let's take a... That principle is in operation right now. So the established order kicked out God, kicked out prayer, kicked out any vestige of Judeo-Christian morality and ethics from the system. Okay, so this is the new system. What do you want to call it? Secularism? Humanism, whatever you want to call it, Leviathan, I don't know what you want to call it, but whatever term you come up with, it's devoid of Christianity, but it's not devoid of religion. It's not devoid of religion. It is an alternative religion. Do not think for a moment it's atheism, secularism. It's not. So I just had this conference that we had Carl Tikrib. And if you're not aware of Carl Tikrib, he's the guy that goes behind enemy lines and plunges into these conferences about globalism, about the World Council of Churches, Burning Man, Bohemian Grove, all these weird stuff. By the way, almost every, well, yes, true, yeah, every president except Donald Trump has went to Bohemian Grove. Did you know that? Bohemian Grove is flat out pagan, satanic, and it happens in Northern California every year, Bohemian Grove, okay? So Carl goes behind enemy lines, and he went to Burning Man just a couple weeks ago. You know what he said? The biggest takeaway I had from his presentation, and I recommend that you listen to him, that when he goes to the Council of Church, he goes to these pagan Bohemian Grove and Burning Man. You know what they're all talking about? They're talking about globalism. They're talking about no borders. They're talking about green economy, saving the planet, and all these fast would normally say, well, that's political issues. They're not political issues. They're talking about it at the Bohemian Grove. They're talking about it at Burning Man. Those are not political entities. That is pagan religion. And the connection point that Carl was making is that, hey, look, you may think that an open border issue is a political issue, or that abortion is a political issue, or gay marriage is a political issue. And he goes, I'm telling you, it's not. It's not coming from politics. It's deriving itself from neo-paganism. It is the neo-paganism that wants open borders, that wants global government, that wants abortion. That's basically child sacrifice, right? They are wanting it. So do not think for a moment it's politics, it's religion. And that's why, I get accused of being political all the time. But it's not, because when you see where it's sourcing from, it's sourcing from witchcraft, Luciferian doctrine, paganism, and all this other junk. That's what's the system. And that's what you have to understand. If you're going to resist the system, you have to know this, that it's not just simply a political issue. It's a spiritual issue that we're dealing with. For instance, look at this guy. If you're a Catholic and you're listening to me online and you haven't figured out this guy, shame on you. Look what he just said. He just said this. He's in Singapore. All religions are paths to reach God. Then on the very bottom, he says, there's only one God, and each of us has a language to arrive at God. Some are Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, different ways to God. I'm sorry. Apparently, he hasn't read John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He just said there's all paths to God. I'm sorry, you're DQ'd at that point as the Pope. But I don't know if the Catholic Church will ever do anything about this. But this is what I'm talking about. sin is corrupted internally by another religion, okay? A Babylonian religion. Look at this. Nearly 1 in 10 Christian colleges, universities have ties to Planned Parenthood and offer abortion clinic internships. Again, and you know this. They say, you know, Christian university, blah, blah, blah. Forget that. Just take the name Christian out. Sorry, they're not. How about this guy? Episcopal priest claims Jesus has integrity issues and needed to grow beyond his original programming so he would stop speaking. Yeah. How do you like that? What's happening here? That's a different religion. That's a religion that hates Christ, to say something like that, right? Stephen Curry claims to be a Christian, endorses Kamala because abortion is about decent people. Please tell me, anyone in this room, how any believer who loves the Lord and loves the Bible and follows Christ can say that abortion, killing babies, murdering babies in the womb by sucking their brain in the parts, okay, is about decent people. What kind of individual is this? What is this? I help me out. That's called a corruption. That's a Canaanite. That's a Canaanite mentality, child sacrifice. I was so heartened and impressed by her selection. This is Taylor Swift. The you know, she's a really political guru. If you haven't listened to her, she really knows a lot. I'm really impressed by Kamala, by running mate Tim Walz, who has been standing up for LGBT rights, IVF, and woman to her own body for decades. Let's take a step back and understand what's going on here. Tim Walz is a creep. Okay, and I'm not saying that because I don't like him politically. He is a creep at a very deep level. Okay, this guy, I was talking to Jan Markell in Minnesota, and she knows this guy. She goes, man, he's creepy, Brandon. I said, yeah, he is. Because you know what he's for, what he allows in Minnesota? He allows for the genitalia of children to be cut off, and if you can't get it in your state, parents won't let you, he will let you mutilate your children. Okay? Listen to Megyn Kelly as she's being interviewed about Tim Walz and Taylor Swift's endorsement of Tim Walz.
But she says the reason she's voting for Kamala Harris is because of Tim Walz's LGBT stance. Do you know what Tim Walz has done on the LGBTQ front? Well, here's what's going to happen. A little girl is going to find herself down a rabbit hole on Reddit. Reddit's going to tell her she's actually a boy. And she's going to get sucked into this gender cult. And she's going to say, Mom and Dad, I want puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones, which will sterilize her. And they're going to girl. And she's going to say, but I want top surgery, this benign thing, this double mastectomy where I'll have tubes coming out of me and I'll never breastfeed a child. I want that too. And they're going to say no. And she's going to go to a judge in Minnesota, and because of Tim Walz, the court will take custody of her, use the Medicaid funds in Minnesota to provide her those things, chop off her breasts, sterilize her with the puberty blockers under the cross-sex hormones. And when this girl inevitably comes to the conclusion that she didn't want any of this, that it only added to her problems, which were the divorce and the acne and the puberty and not any trans issue, who is she going to go to then? This is all because of Tim Walz. That's what Minnesota is doing right now. Boys taking custody away from the parents so that they can have these procedures without any loving parent there to help. And that's what Taylor Swift just endorsed for your children.
That's what I'm talking about. So in the establishment, this is interesting, and I talked to you a little bit about this on Wednesday. Establishment, we want everybody from the world to come into America to not integrate and not assimilate. So now what are we having? We're having now problems with people that come in and they're bringing in crazy pagan religions into America. So like we let all these and they're destroying towns, I mean, completely. And what do Haitians typically practice as a religion? Voodoo. Okay? So the reluctance of mainstream outlets to mention such matters as voodoo and cannibalism in connection with gang violence, as if the influence of the occult and barbaric were somehow anti-black or racist, say, hey, this voodoo thing's a bad thing because they'll call you a racist. And it's like, wait a second, this is a religious thing. This is a cultural thing. Cultural trends suggest that occult beliefs have never been more influential in America than before. Huh. Animal sacrifice rituals are increasing in Queens, New York. Feds in New York City announced plans to crack down on animal sacrifice that don't exist according to liberal media. They are doing it, by the way. Here's the, I showed this on Wednesday, the animal sacrifice. This woman rescued three pigs that were going to be sacrificed. Sacrificial implementations, burning and whatnot. There's a little I showed this on Wednesday. This guy, what is he doing with this bird? What is he going to do?
Why do you have the bird?
Say it again.
Why do you
want to catch it?
Let me have the bird.
I have the bird.
I know how to hold the bird. Let go of the bird.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is he doing? Going to sacrifice it? What is he going to do? This is what I'm talking about. The established order is allowing rank paganism to enter our country. And don't think there's any ramifications. So now we have people in our country practicing animal sacrifices to whatever god they're worshiping. Voodoo being practiced. And on top of that, Islam. Huh, I wonder how long we can go like that. Then Judah took a wife from Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. Enter the picture, the resistor. Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. Now, the interesting thing, so this is Er is his firstborn, so he wants a wife, so he gets Tamar. Tamar means palm tree, and she probably is a Canaanite at this point in time, but Tamar is into Yahweh worship. She buys into the Abrahamic covenant. She understands it. So somehow she figured it out. She heard it. They're oral culture, so they probably talked about it. And so now she's been brought into the fold to be this guy's wife. This is the firstborn's wife. But this guy is so wicked. Now, wait a second. This is my point. You have the wife leading, who's a Canaanite, in charge of the family. I wonder how her children are going to come out. Well, he comes out so bad that God actually has to kill him. That's how bad he is. God. And then Judah said to Onan, go into your brother's wife and marry her and raise up an heir to your brother. Now what that is now he's going to the second boy and saying, hey, look, you got to raise up a descendant for Er. So I need you to marry her. Have a baby with her and be the legitimate heir of your older brother that the Lord killed. This was the custom of Levirate marriage. Now, this is the custom of that day, and it actually got put into Mosaic law eventually too. So even the code of Hammurabi and the time of that culture, here's what you would do. Because inheritance was a big deal. It's more of an economic issue rather than a sexual issue. So what you would have to do for a brother that died and didn't have any heirs and make sure that his descendants and his name kept going on, the closest of kin would need to redeem them by having sex with them, impregnating them, and giving them an heir. And it was really more of an economic thing. And again, the ancients looked at sex way differently than we do, okay? For them, it was about creating heirs. It was passing on your name, passing on your inheritance. And so what asking them to do is not out of the cultural norm. And it's not even in violation of Mosaic law that comes later on down the centuries. So he's asked to do this. So this would be a normal thing to do. So what he would do is have sex with her, impregnate her. She would have a child, and then he can move on to his own family. But an heir. And by the way, if you didn't have any heirs as a woman, you died. Because it's the males that are going to take care of you in your old age. You don't have Social Security. You don't have all this other stuff. It's your sons that will take care of you. Okay? So it's a life and death situation. So what does he do? But Onan knew not be his. And it came to pass that he went into his brother's wife that he emitted on the ground. So this is called coitus interruptus. And by the way, the Hebrew is indicating he did it constantly, by the way. So he kept having sex with her, but kept pulling out. You know the reason why? Because he wants the inheritance. He wants the inheritance, and he doesn't want to share the inheritance with his older brother. So this guy's wicked, okay? Again, you can have a Cain in your life and your children, and that's okay. But then when the second kid is just as wicked as the first, you might start looking at how you're raising these kids, okay? So this guy does something, coitus interruptus. He refuses to do what he's legally bound to do, lest he should give an heir to his brother, and the thing which he did displeased the Lord. So therefore, he killed him also. So this is how the Lord looks at this. He kills him for it. He kills the first one. He kills the second one. Let me ask you this. If the Lord's killing your kids, are your kids good or bad? Pretty bad. I mean, so bad that the Lord kills them. Okay? So something's going on here. Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow in your father's house till my son Shelah, remember he has three sons, is grown. So Shelah is too young to marry her and produce a child with her. So he said, kind of, you know, hold back. But here's what he's thinking. For he said, lest he also tie like his brothers. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. So it gives you a little bit insight on Judah. Here's what Judah's thinking. I'm not about to give my younger son to her because she's a black widow. She'll kill him too. Now, I want you to think about how Judah's thinking. Judah's mindset is so off that he's blaming Tamar for his crazy children dying when he should be saying, my children are dying because they're wicked and the Lord kills them. But he won't go there. Because why won't he go there? Why does he have to blame and scapegoat Tamar? If he has to say, my two sons and possibly my third son are degenerates and God had to kill them, what does that mean for him as a parent? Then he has to own marrying a Canaanite wife and letting her rule the roost and the house out of control. He has to blame himself, and he's not going to go there. So these types of people in the establishment, do you think they ever sit down at night and say, boy, I'm really running the country into the ground. I cannot believe I allowed an open border. I cannot believe I'm destroying the economy, trying to have elimination of fossil fuels and wind and solar. Boy, it's on me. It's on me that your Subway sandwiches are $20. It's on me that the minimum wages are $20. I don't know what I was thinking. Do you think they have that conversation? No. They refuse to blame those who are in the system. They won't blame themselves. They look for scapegoats. And that's what he's doing here. And so anyway, she's going to come. She's under his authority. Now, she's coming into his house. She has to wait for this other child to grow up so she can marry him and have a child. Mind, you're not about to ever get a hold of him. Okay. Couple things. And we'll end here. And I'll show you some examples of this. In resisting the corruption of the established order, it is imperative they're all liars, okay? They make promises to you that they have no intention of keeping. Please understand that. Do not be fooled by them going on TV and flip-flopping their story and saying it's not going to be this way, it's going to be that way. Because here's the thing. Individuals that are pathological liars, which we have in politics, okay, or pathological liars like Judah, okay? They know that they can make promises and no one will hold them accountable to the promises they make. And they realize that out there, people do not hold them accountable. That's why they're doing everything in front of you in full view and they say, I dare you to stop me. Okay? That, because they know the system is not allowing you and I to have the power to offset that. If they were afraid of you and me, they wouldn't be doing the things they're doing, but they're not afraid of you and I anymore. I wonder why. Is it because the system is so corrupted and so locked in with the deep state, with the FBI, the CIA, Secret Service or whatever, that there is no way they think that you and I could upset that. I think so. Zuckerberg is lying to you, as an example. He went in front of Congress, crocodile tears. We were wrong. We shouldn't have done that. Despite Zuckerberg's reassurance to Jim Jordan, it appears the old double standard is out there because he's still doing it on Facebook. Still shadow banning, still censoring, and still doing the same things. So they're lying to you. They make promises and they don't fulfill it. Secret Service, protect people. Leak. Secret Service agents assigned to Trump, Butler Riley, never directed local police to guard the roof used by Thomas Crooks. I heard the body cam from the police, and they were freaking out because they saw this guy on the police, but they had no way to get a hold of him. They wouldn't use the same radios. Okay. You promised to protect presidents, but you're not really protecting, so I wonder what you're up to. Thank you. Let me show you a little bit of Talonic justice. This is all through the scriptures here. So here's the interesting. Jacob wanted to protect Joseph, right? The youngest at that time. Now Judah wants to protect his youngest. Okay? By both men wanting to protect their youngest, they actually cause more problems by doing that. So again, it comes to the roofs. You think, well, they want to protect it. Yeah, they do. But Jacob favors Joseph, and that favoritism starts up and springs up the fire of resentment in his family's life. He actually fractures his family because of his favoritism of Joseph. And I get it. It would be a natural thing because this kid's not going to cause you any trouble. I get that. The problem is, because your favoritism went out of control and out of bounds, you got the whole family ticked off at him. And that's why they hated him and sold him into slavery. It's because of you. Because you wanted to overprotect. Now, Judah wants to protect his youngest and keep him away from Tamar. Because she's, in his mind, a black widow. But what you're seeing is Talonic justice and the pattern that whatever you dish out, you're going to get back in full measure. And that's happening all. And by wanting to protect his younger son, guys, he is jeopardizing the line of the Messiah. That's what's happening. Because if he doesn't allow his son to have an heir, you and I know that the Messiah comes from the tribe of. So in his mind, this is so crazy he is, to protect his young son, he's putting in jeopardy the line of Jesus. This is how grave of a mistake this is. He is causing a major spiritual problem. And again, what is the principle behind this? Judah represents ignorant choices, and he is totally ignorant of this because he doesn't know the scriptures. He's not following the scriptures. That he's making decisions without bringing in God into the equation, and that would be like, you know, for us looking at the scriptures and what does it say, and not understanding, making decisions without biblical mindsets causes major problems generation after generation after generation. And that's in contrast to Joseph. So as an example of what I'm talking about, how important this is, when you and I are making decisions, we into the mix. We better bring biblical ideas into the equation in what we're doing because it will reverberate all through our kids and grandkids what we do. So, for instance, and look, I don't have to go any further than to show you what's going on. They are doing things that will affect us not just today, but for the next 50 years. And they don't care. In their mind, all they want to do is protect their little kingdom. So with protecting this little boy, okay? But yet, by protecting their little kingdoms, they're putting everyone in jeopardy. So for instance, Springfield, Ohio. Have you heard about this? The Haitians dropped in there, 20,000. The population of them is only about 60,000 in this little town. crazy, man. Springfield leaders dodge and weave questions about Haitians overcrowding and wildlife. So there's been rumors that they're eating the wildlife, right? It's out of control. Haitian problems in Springfield, Ohio spill over nearby small towns. So it's just spreading all over. And these people who made these decisions don't care. In addition to straining, locals have complained of migrants causing car crashes, stealing property, including livestock, squatting in homes, and killing wildlife for food. This is Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost. Now, the leftist media is saying, oh, it's not happening. It's not happening. Don't believe your lying eyes. And so they're gaslighting us. But they are not going to admit that make, although unbiblical, are affecting everyone else. Here's this poor lady at the city council pleading with them to do something.
And I'm done with what I'm seeing. It is so unsafe in my neighborhood anymore. I have the homeless that were trying to camp out, and I have made concessions with them, and I try to help them the best I can to keep them from trying to squat on my property. But it is so unsafe. I have men that cannot speak English in my front yard screaming at me, throwing mattresses in my front yard, throwing trash in my front yard. I look at me, I weigh 95 pounds. I couldn't defend myself if I had to. My husband is elderly, and last night after living in this home for 45 years, he said, Noelle, guess what? It's time to pack up and move. He said, we can't do this anymore. He said, it's killing both of us mentally. I don't expect of us as citizens. I mean, I understand they're here under temporary protected status and you're protecting them, and I understand that our city services are overwhelmed and understaffed, but who's protecting us? If we're protecting them, who's protecting me? I want out of this town. I am so, please give me a reason to stay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And they're not. Listen to this guy.
I think it's like kind of odd that like a guy like me has to come out from doing what I do on a daily basis to have fun, because I see what's going on in these streets, and I see you guys just sitting up there in them comfy chairs and suits and like, and I'm broadcasting this, and you guys are just sitting up there in suits or something. Like, I really challenge you guys to get out here and do something. These Haitians are running into trash cans. They're running into buildings. They're running into, they flipping cars in the middle of the street. And I don't know how, like, y'all can do this. Like, I don't know, like, who's getting paid from this. I feel like, I honestly feel like someone's getting paid from it in the background. They dropping, they, you got a bunch of people on a bus getting dropped off at a gas station to come down here. I know a single mom that FaceTimed me tonight, FaceTimed me this morning at the welfare office that really, really needs something. And it's nothing but immigrants over there. And I don't even want to, like, seem like I'm coming down on the immigrants, because it's the people that's bringing them down here. Because wherever they're at, that's what they're used to, bro. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them. And eating. Y'all get the Highway State Patrol down here every week, and then y'all get like a task force for the Highway State Patrol, and they look for guns and they look for dope and this and that and the fourth. That same people that y'all got riding up and down Limestone doing U-turns, pulling people over for blinkers and pulling people over for like going left to center and like a couple miles over. Same people, the Highway State Patrol, and you can take them in every single one of their silver Chargers and Dodge Durangos, and y'all can take them to Sunset. And y'all can park them right over there, and y'all can teach people how to drive, since the Highway State Patrol knows so much how to know so much about traffic laws and know what to do in traffic. They need to, y'all pay them, teach these Haitians how to drive, because it's getting a, bro, I'm getting thousands of views on these, and it's going to get bigger, and it's only going to get worse. And y'all sitting up there in these chairs, y'all, all y'all need to get out here and do something. Y'all making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Y'all need to put on a t-shirt and some Crocs, and then y'all need to come out here in these streets, and y'all need to go out here and, I'm out this. Like, y'all need to do something, bro. Y'all really got to stand on business. Y'all getting paid all this money just to wear a suit and sit in a chair. I think it's crazy, bro. They, like, we got to do something, bro. It's kids out here getting hurt, like, only reason I even went on here and said something about it is because somebody told me they walking from the school ran into them. And who is getting paid? Like, how much money is y'all really getting paid, like, to bring them over here? Like, I know it's deeper than them. I know that's where they come from, and that's what they do. That's their country. I don't know what they got going on over there, but they can't do that over here. And if y'all just getting paid from it and then y'all ain't doing nothing about it, I think that's super weird, bro. Y'all got to really, like, step up. Like, it's lame, bro. Like, for real.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He has more common sense than the city council there in Springfield, right? I like that guy. Their petition being created to recall the entire Springfield City Commission after Haitian influx. The memes have started. I showed you on Wednesday. Kamala hates me because the rumors are they're going after people's pets. They're eating cats. They're eating dogs. They're getting the geese at the thing. And, of course, you have all these memes with Donald Trump saving geese and cats. You know, you have to laugh. I mean, it's so ridiculous, right, that what's happening in our country. I mean, you have to laugh at this stuff. But I can't believe this is happening. So this is the cats. This is a film. Cats in Ohio right now running from, you know, Springfield, and the Haitians going out. This video together to show you what the cats are doing. So anyway, the cats are, at least they have some idea. But anyway, I just had to throw that in there because it's so heavy. You gotta laugh at some point. This is ridiculous what's happening. Dude, they're taking the ducks from the pond and eating them. I mean, what? What are you talking about, man? So it's crazy stuff. Okay, what's the point? We're going to wrap up here. The point is this. This is what happens when the established order is out of control, right? Okay, so I'm watching this. What is the takeaway before we get to Tamar? Because next week we'll get into Tamar and what she starts to do. As you can see, Tamar is the victim in this whole thing. From having a child, right? And she that's her right, by the way. By law, she should be able to do this. And she's being prevented from the system from that happening. Okay. But the bigger issue is they are not just simply preventing her from having a child. It's actually a satanic attack of the Messiah that's happening. So it's a bigger issue. And it reverberates throughout the time if that happens. So what do we do? What do we do when you see the system out of control? Well, it comes to you just learned about Judah's home, okay? And before you and I are going to change the system or resist the system, you better change what's happening in your home. Because if you think you're going to take on this Leviathan in front of you that's controlling your life, I could pretty much guess that about 80% of the problems you're having stem from what's happening with going on in the home. If the home is not correct, you cannot fight an external enemy because the inside your home. So my admonition is before we do this, let's take inventory about what's happening in our home and make sure that we're not doing what Judah's doing, that we have the authority structure correct, and we're not fraternizing with Canaanites. To that next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for what we can learn from this beginning of this story of Tamar. And Father, we see that the mistakes that Judah made, we don't want to make those mistakes either. We want to make sure we do things properly in order and have our house in order and have a stabilized foundation in this battle that we're fighting in resisting the system. And so, Father, give us wisdom, give us understanding. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that we come to faith in him today, realizing he died on a cross for their sins, was buried, and rose on the third day to give everlasting life to anyone who would believe in him. We pray now in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us for another lesson. We hope that this message is a blessing for you and helps you grow towards a more mature understanding of God's Word. For more information about our ministry, we invite you to check out our website at rockharborchurch.net. Until next time, remember, keep looking up, for our redemption draws near.